Good. Did you hear what Mr. Dave said earlier about how everything is awake and beautiful after Easter? Yesterday was kind of a dreary day, wasn't it? And it kind of, after our beautiful Easter last Sunday, I was like, oh, no, Lord, not again. And everything was just so in the dark kind of yesterday, wasn't it? But then today, we wake up and, wow, God, thanks for this awesome and beautiful day. Everything is going to just start getting greener and brighter outside. And days like yesterday, Aiden, what did you do yesterday? Well, I know what you did last night, but before that, like, what did you guys do during the day? Sat inside. Yeah, but today, with the sun out, what do you think you're going to do? Play outside. Yes, like everything just kind of wakes up, doesn't it? Last Sunday, we were in Champaign for a beautiful Easter day. And when we got home, I swear, the grass had become greener and the flowers were starting. And I was looking at all of our garden beds, and I was looking at them thinking about all the layers and layers of leaves and stuff that had been on them. And we had somebody come clean out the beds, and it was like taking that winter layer off, woke up everything. And the plants were going, probably saying to each other, oh my gosh, look, we survived that dark winter, and now we get to live again. And I think that's kind of an Easter message that we can carry with us. I was thinking about that even more when I started looking around and about what's all the things that are blooming. What do you need? What do those plants need in order to survive? Water. We had plenty of that yesterday, didn't we? And before, sunshine, air,
rain.
Yes. Okay. I also think sometimes things need love. If you read the directions, it doesn't always say that, but I think it does. Because look at this thing. This thing says right on it, I love sun. But guess what? I don't think it got any sun, did it? Look at that thing. Do you think it's going to come back? No, I don't know either. Especially. But then look at this one. It's the exact same plant. Look at that. And it got a little rain on it. You can tell it got some sun. And I think it loves the orange pot. So I think it got some love too. Don't you think? So in the next few days as we go through, you can think about all the gifts that God has given us in this beautiful world. And you can think about how, just like plants, people need the same kinds of things. They need taken care of, they need food, and they need love. Right? Okay, shall we pray? Dear God, thank you for these beautiful friends, these beautiful children that bring such joy to our lives. Thank you for their families and that see that they get here and are raised with their eyes upon you. Keep them safe as they go through their weeks, as they finish up their school year, and bless all of them as they grow in your love. Keep them out of the darkness and bring them to the light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, please stand and join me for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Here ends the reading.
God.
Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to you. It's so great to be here with you. Even when I feel like I'm going to fall over. Kurt, thank you so much. This text is one of the most important texts in all of the Bible. This is one of the most empowering verses in all of the Bible. This is the verse that took the power from the religious leaders away and gave it to the people of God. To you! You heard what Jesus said? He said all authority. All authority. All power in heaven and on earth was given to him. He said it was given to me. And when he was tempted earlier in Matthew's gospel in the desert by the enemy, by the devil, by Satan, the devil tried to tempt him and say, all of this is yours if you just bow down and worship me. In other words, you don't have to go to the cross. Just bow down and worship me. You can have it all. All gain, no pain. But Jesus chose all pain for eternal gain. Amen? He rose! He rose from the dead, amen? We have life because he rose. And he rose so that all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority and power can be given to him. Not so he can hoard it or wield it or have bragging rights. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, just like Jesus told them to. They listened to him. It means that they listened to the women who told him the good news, the Marys, who went and told him, "He is risen, go on to Galilee," just as he said. Those women were the first ever evangelists. They went to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And some scholars think they went back to where it kind of started for them. This is where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. Because that was his greatest teaching. So they went back to the roots, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them in Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And the word in the Greek for doubted doesn't necessarily mean that they had like no faith. It just meant that some still had little faith. Remember, ye of little faith? That wasn't a put down. That was saying, your faith is young and still has room to grow. You have much to learn. So some still had little faith. That means they had more room to grow. They hadn't arrived. They hadn't figured everything out. That means they could be more reliant on Jesus and God could work more through them. They could be more yielded to the Holy Spirit. Less room for pride. So God could work through them. But when they saw him, they worshipped him. They didn't call him rabbi like Judas who betrayed him. And that's our first appropriate response, disciples, is to worship God in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to recap something I've said over the past few weeks, but how many of you remember what our definition of a disciple is? Remember when Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people"? That was our definition of a disciple. A disciple is one who decides to follow Jesus. A disciple is one whose life is transformed by the Spirit of Jesus. And a disciple is one who joins in the mission of God in Jesus. Now we're going to get to the mission of God that we are to join into. And so Jesus came to them and said, on earth has been given to me. Here's what he's really good. And this is worth memorizing. Why don't we say this together? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. There could be nothing more important this week in your spiritual life than you taking the time each day and reciting those verses and letting God write those on your heart. And letting that set your agenda for whatever you have to do each day. For praying that for all of your relationships. For all your encounters you could have with a stranger or with your neighbors or even with your enemies. That is your vocation. That is your calling. We surrender to Jesus. He becomes our new chief commanding officer. And he gives us the greatest mission of all. The Great Commission. That's what those verses are. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. There was a survey that Barna did, I saw a couple weeks ago. And Barna does all kinds of demographic research, all kinds of religious studies of our Americans. And what they found was that more and more people don't even know what the Great Commission is, or they've forgotten the Great Commission. In the United Methodist Church, our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And I'm just going to give you my take on what's been going on in the Methodist Church. I think that we have spent so much energy on trying to transform the world, we've forgotten about the most important part. It's about making disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I can shout about making disciples until the cows come home. But I'm going to be honest. Making disciples has been something we've trumpeted from the pulpits or from our stages or our songs, but we haven't done a very good job of unpacking it and teaching it. The how-to, the practical, how to make disciples. And the ways we've tried to make disciples over the past few decades has primarily been in a classroom. But Jesus didn't spend all his time in a classroom, did he? No. He lived his life together with people that he selected to pour himself into, to pray for, and to help them become who they were created to be, to love them. He came to serve them and not be served. He came to wash their feet. He even healed one of their sick mothers. He healed many people, but he taught them how to do it along the way. And so the main verb in this, and studying this passage in seminary, was what made studying Greek exciting to me. Greek was really hard, but when I realized the significance of learning Greek, when I studied this text, it changed everything for me. So I have a dog in this fight. This is very important to me personally because it changed my life. But in the Greek, you can see that the main verb is make disciples. The verb in Greek is makathousintai. Make disciples. A lot of people focus on the go as the main imperative. But the only imperative, how many of you know what an imperative is? Remember from grammar in English in grade school or in junior high? An imperative. An imperative is a command. A imperative is not an option. It's you must do this and you will do this. You are authorized to do this. You are authorized to make disciples. Let's say that together. You are authorized to make disciples. You are authorized to make disciples. And so Jesus explains what he means by making disciples. The first participle is go. And it's in the aorist tense, which means it's in a past already happening that you should already be doing this. The go isn't like you haven't been going anywhere. The go means as you are going, because you're already going somewhere. So it means to make disciples in your everyday life as you go. This isn't the point where you start making disciples. You make disciples wherever you go. Each one of your relationships is an opportunity to make disciples. You don't have to wait until you get someone to a Bible study to make disciples. You make disciples by sharing life with people and sharing Christ with them by the way that you love them and by the way that you serve them like Jesus. Amen? Amen. So the first participle, or the first part of making disciples, is about it's about going. Making disciples is an always and everywhere ministry. It's your life. The second, he says, is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's about baptizing them. Baptism is an initiation into the body of Christ in the church. It's not just that one event, but the baptism he's talking about is a life lived in community, in Christian community, being filled with the Holy Spirit and bearing one another's burdens. Because you can't make disciples on your own. I know, I try, and the world chewed me up and spit me out, and I hit rock bottom, and Jesus lifted me up out of that pit when a pastor met me in the middle of a liquor aisle in a Kroger in Decatur on a night where I was going to drink myself possibly to death. I had tried to make disciples, and I was away from a church. I was just doing it, on my own, a Lone Ranger Christian. And the world beat me up and spit me out. We need each other, church. Don't take each other for granted. God has placed you in each other's lives for the reason of building one another up. Amen? You are the church. You are the Alpha United Methodist Church for this time, for this season. And I know people come and go from a church. But if you're here, you are the church. That means you are to be making disciples as you go in your relationships. So if we're making disciples in our relationships, it's not just with strangers that don't know Jesus. It's with each other. So that's the second thing, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. The third thing is teaching them to obey or observe everything I have commanded. So Matthew is telling his audience that Jesus is reminding us to go back. Now that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, go back and revisit the teachings of Jesus we didn't understand. And the Holy Spirit will open the scriptures to us as we read it together. As we live it together in our relationships. Whether we're grandparents with our grandkids and we watch them after school, or on lunch break with our co-workers and we're offered to pray for them, or we're going to visit a neighbor who's a widow and we're taking them a meal and we're running errands for them. Maybe they don't know Jesus and we can share Christ with them. Or maybe they can't see and we can read the Bible to them. Or maybe someone needs a ride and we can bring them to church. But this teaching is active. It's to obey everything and observe everything. And it's not just in a classroom. It's in the classroom of life. It's in relationships, intentional relationships. It takes great effort. I heard a great saying, the leadership axiom, and it's saying that you have to move, imagine a lever and a boulder, right? The lever can move the rock, but you have to move the lever a lot, with great intensity, to move the rock a little. If you're going to make disciples of Jesus Christ, it has to be a priority. It has to be woven into your life. It has to become something that becomes natural for you. It has to be something that gives life to you. Not something that's a chore for you. Not something that's on your to-do list with everything else. It's your calling is to make disciples. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing we need to remember is this. It's what Jesus said. Remember, I am with you always to the end. Matthew's gospel began with Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David. And the name he was given was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He is still Emmanuel. That means he's with you when you're grieving. That means he's with you when you're at work and things are hard. It means he's with you if you're at school and you're being bullied. But it means he's with us when two or three are gathered in my name. There I am also. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, I'm a little amped about this. And I might pass out after the service. But I want you to remember that you are authorized to make disciples. Let's say that together. You are authorized to make disciples. And this is something so important. I want to spend the rest of May, the entire month of May, unpacking. about what it means beyond this passage, what it means practically, what the process looks like to have intentional relationships where you are making disciples of Jesus Christ in your everyday life. Is that something that you want to have more conversation about? You want to learn more and talk about? How we can make disciples beyond curriculums and classrooms and even getting people to come to church, but how we can share our faith practically and lead people to Jesus or help one another to grow as disciples so that we don't stay stuck at a certain stage in our development, but that we're always growing and going on to perfection so that when our day comes and we're ready to meet Jesus and await the resurrection, that people can say, wow, they really love Jesus, and that person shared Christ with me, and my life is not the same, and I am in ministry, or I am sharing Christ with others because of what this person has done in my life. Like what I say about my Aunt Peggy. I wouldn't be a pastor without her. And she's gone now. But she made making disciples her vocation. It was in every fiber of her being to build up other people and to reveal Christ to them by the way that she loved and lived. And so I can't think of a better way to honor her than to say, you are authorized to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you pray with me? Lord, I pray that we would receive all authority and power in heaven and on earth that you have to pour on us right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Give us a holy passion we have never tasted or known. May we be more alive in this moment than we ever have in our lives. And give us a powerful testimony today. A joy that the enemy cannot rob us or steal from us. That we would leave this place walking on clouds. And people would see us and be like, wow, you look great. And we can say, it's Jesus. God, give us a holy confidence as individuals and as a church and our families that yes, we can make disciples. That no, this church is not dead. Yes, we can make disciples of Jesus Christ. And we can start with each other. God, thank you for the urgency of today's message. I hope that we will hear it and remember your word this week.